just in case you missed it, there was a guy, Harold Camping, an older pastor who for some reason felt like he could predict the end of the world, and based on some mathematical calculations thought it was going to happen yesterday at 6 p.m. And I don't know, either we're not Christians or it didn't happen. Harold's still here with us, so here's the truth. The truth is Jesus is coming back again one day, but the Bible tells us that no man will know the hour. The disciples, his closest followers of Jesus, said, "Tell us, when is this going to happen?" And Jesus said, even I don't have this. Somehow, he said, you know, only God the Father knows the time and the season that this will happen. So here's what we need to do. We need to always be living each day ready. Not that we all have to go stock our fridges. Some of you are like sitting here, where did we end up this morning? I am not saying God's coming today or tomorrow, but you know, he could come before we end. I know that sounds weird. The Bible says it could happen when no one knows, but as soon as somebody predicts, you know that's not it. So, all right. So, let me pray for the church, because and not just the church, but there are a lot of people who look at Christians already as weirdos. And when we have situations like this pop up, it just makes people wonder even more. So let's pray. God, we do thank you for who you are, and that you gave us a promise that one day you would be back to rescue your bride. And God, I still believe, though, as you said in the book of Matthew, that until every tribe and nation is reached, the end will not come. And we know there are many in this world who still have not heard your name, who the truth of the gospel has not been shared with, God. And so I pray on one hand that we would be about your business, that we would become passionate about sharing your truth and your love with all around us, and that we ourselves would be ready. And in a moment, if for some reason you were to come, we'd be ready to meet you face to face. But God, right now while we're here, help us to walk and live as you walked and lived, and to love as you loved. So I pray, God, that we would be a good testimony to those around us who are wondering who you are, and help us not to walk and take false steps like many have, like Pastor Harold, who I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will reach him somehow and show him the truth. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. I think we're going to go into a message for today. We have a video we've been playing at the beginning of each service. Pay attention to this. A lot of times we're getting donuts and coffee while we play this video. So just listen to what this video has to say, and then we'll dive into why it's important for us at Hope Hill Church. So take a look.
At our church, Jesus is Lord. That single belief calls us together as a community and sends us into our world with hope and purpose. At our church, your past will never define your future. There's always redemption, which means there's always a brighter day. At our church, we don't think we're better than any other church out there. We're just doing our best to become our best. At our church, we want you to believe in God, but we also want you to know that God believes in you. We are not against people who don't attend church anywhere. Instead, we pursue them with love, the very same love that's pursuing us. At our church, we're learning to serve God with all our hearts, and we're learning to worship Him with all our lives. And if you're looking for the perfect church, we're not it. At our church, we will make mistakes, but we will choose to grow from them. At our church, we're part of a global community that's knit together by the resurrection of Jesus. And by the way, at our church, we believe that really happened too. At our church, we will engage with people who are in real need, because we are the hands and the feet of Christ. And finally, we need you to hear this loud and clear. At our church, it's not really our church at all. It's His, and we live and move and breathe in His church for His glory and His fame, not ours. So here's the invitation. You're invited to jump in with your whole heart at your own pace and to experience the life that awaits you in Christ. Friends, this is going to be good. Welcome to our church.
Amen. Amen. All right. You need this packet, and I want to encourage you to take this packet home. Keep a hold of it. You can fold it, tuck it in your Bible, pull it out every once in a while. We're going to be looking mainly at this front part right here, these three kind of sections today. And we are started a series called Get Plugged In. And the whole purpose of this is to lay the foundation for who we are as a church. If you've been with us any number of weeks recently, you'll know that we are a brand new church. There's this thing called church membership that has kind of come up in the American culture. Those words don't really appear in the Bible, and we try to be very careful that everything we do has some kind of biblical foundation. And so there is a statement in the Bible that we all are members of one body. So there you go. You got the word members, and you got the word body. So what is the church? Let me tell you what the church is not. You ready? The church is not a building. It's not. There are many church buildings in this area. When I moved here from Colorado 20 years ago, 1991, I was surprised how many church buildings. There are some streets you can drive down. There's a church building on every block. Have you noticed in this area? And but the truth is that the church is not a building. The church is what? What is the church? People, exactly. The church is you and I gathered together in the name of Christ, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, empowered by Him to be His vessels on this earth. And so, you know, we can be on the soccer fields together as bodies, as the body of Christ, being the church. We can be together giving clothes to homeless and those in need and be the church. The church does not require musical instruments. The church does not require communion bread. The church does not require a sound system and chairs and rows. All the church requires is Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit empowering us to live for Him and to come together in His name. Now, there are important things. There's a reason why we have communion, to remember what Christ did for us. There's a very important reason why we have baptism, and we'll be talking about both of those more next week. But more than anything, the church are people who are living as Jesus lived. And there are a lot of people who go to church who, once they leave the doors, don't look anything like Jesus. Years ago, there was a guy named Alexander the Great. You heard of him? Yeah, okay. So Alexander the Great had these many soldiers who would fight for him, and this one particular detachment was out fighting this real fierce battle on the battle lines, and it got so intense that a few people even started to retreat. This one individual was coming back. He was badly beaten up, to the point of even death, and Alexander the Great was riding, approaching the front lines, and as he got up, he noticed this soldier retreating, and he got down and he started to help the soldier, and he talked to the soldier and said, you know, my son, what's your name? And the soldier said, my name's Alexander, sir. And immediately Alexander the Great's mood changed, and he looked at him and he said, son, change your name or change your ways. You know, Alexander was ferocious no matter what. No matter how bad the battle would get, he would never retreat. And his compassion that he began to show in this person changed once he realized he had the same name. We need to look at our own lives. Some of us call ourselves Christians, but when the going gets tough, many of us retreat from the front line, and Christian is the last thing that we look like at times. And so I wonder if Jesus would be standing here today and looking at us and holding a mirror up and asking us to look at ourselves and to say, are you really a part of the church? Are you really a Christian? Are there some things that need to change? What we wanted to do, we took the first 9 months of our gatherings, basically from about May last year, a year ago, until August. And we went through a study together. There was a group that started, about 20, 25 of us, with the dream that God would start a church one day called Hope Hill Church. And we met in my home just around the block here on Colonial Village Loop. And our numbers grew over the summer to about 80 people. Now, put 30 adults in my living room and 50 kids in the basement. And it gets pretty interesting. And that's where we were. That's why we have so many seats empty right now. So much of us are children, and they're in some great classes right now. But what we did is we sat out saying, God, we want to see a church begin because you want to see the church grow. And it wasn't that God needed us, but we felt God wanted us to be a part of what he was doing. And some people said to me in the early days, you know, why another church? Don't you work at First Baptist? And I was working at First Baptist, and First Baptist is a great church reaching a lot of people. I had close to 300 students that I was responsible for. I was the youth pastor there for 6 years. And I had a great privilege working there. But God put in my heart that there was a lot of people who still did not know him. Close to 88% of the people that live in Prince William County do not know who Jesus is. 88%. Can you believe that? And we have a very diverse area. That's true. A lot of people come from a lot of different areas. And sure, a lot of people have heard the name of Jesus, but they haven't really known him. Does that make sense? And even some of you sitting here today, maybe you don't really know who Jesus is. And our hope in starting Hope Hill Church would be that we would make Jesus famous in this area, that people would come to see him and know him, not as a cuss word that they say when they hit their finger with the hammer, but they would come to really experience who Jesus was, how much he loves them, and how much he wants to change their life. And so the main purpose of Hope Hill Church is to bring glory to him. We kind of coined three words, three phrases. Glorify God, you can see those on here. Transform lives and impact our world. And we have a mission statement. I always kind of get the words back kind of messed up, but it's something like this. Hope Hill Church exists to glorify God and impact our world through the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Okay, you get, it's something like that. You can go to our website if you want it exactly how we wrote it. I'm not the best grammatically versed person, so that was probably a great example of it right there. So anyways, glorify God, transform lives, impact our world. And we're going to break this down for you today because what we want to do is in 2 weeks from now, we are officially going to say, okay, we as a church officially launched on February 13th. Now, a church really can't exist without people, right? And even though for months we had been meeting on every Sunday, we started meeting in this school, I think September 9th was a Sunday, and we had been meeting all the way up to February, but if we would have stopped meeting, technically, legally, there would have never been a church here, according to legal records. So February 13th, by the powers that be, they recognized us as a church. On Friday, I was in Philadelphia with the 8th grade Benton class from Benton Middle School, and I got a call at about lunchtime, and it was the Potomac News and Messenger. And I didn't recognize the number, but now that my number is on a lot of things for the church, I answer it pretty often. So I answered the phone, and I was like, hello, this is John Cousins, and the lady from Potomac News and Messenger said, is this Hope Hill Church? And I said, well, in a sense, you know, I'm one of the people that go there. But yeah, I'm the pastor of Hope Hill Church. How can I help you? And she said, well, I'm so-and-so with Potomac News and Messenger. I wanted to let you know that your church was voted the best church in Prince William County. I was like, what? I didn't even know there was a vote. Again, I still am waiting for proof, you know, evidence of this. But, you know, the truth is the church is not me. The church is not you. The church is all of us coming together to glorify our God. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew that when we live the way that he wanted us to live, when we go out and demonstrate the works of Jesus Christ, that others will see our deeds and come to glorify our Father in heaven. So, you know, it doesn't matter if we win some kind of certificate, or she said, you know, we'll mail you your stickers. I'm like, where are we going to put them? You know? Okay. Maybe on a guitar case. It'll look really cool, you know? Okay, so, you know, that's not what we're about. What we're about is, you know, praise God that people are seeing the work of Hope Hill Church. Praise God that that lives are being touched, and many lives are even being changed and transformed. That's what it's about. And so the first most important thing we're about is that first block, glorify God. I want to point you to a couple verses real quick that kind of give us the foundation. These aren't just thoughts that came to our mind out of nowhere. Actually, some of these sentences we even stole off somebody else's website. So, but we asked permission, okay, after the fact. Yeah, we did. And Pastor Jim, if you're listening to this podcast ever, Pastor Jim from Paradox Church gave us permission to use these. And the truth is they're universal truths from the Word of God, and we want to show you where they come from. So the first one is Colossians 1:17. Do we have these? Is this what you were talking about, Austin? There you go. So first of all, the most important thing about Jesus Christ is truth, because he is truth. And the most important thing that we need to know in order to bring glory to God is to know truth. Jesus Christ is truth. If you want to know truth, you got to know Jesus. Why? Because he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world. We must focus our eyes on the one true Jesus as the one who holds all things together. Jesus is truth. John 14:6. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was one of the Pharisees, one of the religious teachers. And he said, he was having this conversation. Jesus, are you really the Son of God? And his answer, in short, was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to know the Father except through me. And so John 14:6 makes that plain. And then Jesus is also a part of the Trinity. And the Trinity is what? Say it with me. God the, and God the Holy Spirit. So the Father is the Son is the Spirit is the Father. All three are somehow one. And yet they're all three different. And we'll have a whole nother Sunday on how do you make sense of the Trinity. But here's what the Bible says in John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit of what? Truth. The Spirit of what? Truth. Jesus is truth. If you want to know truth, you've got to know Jesus, and you've got to know the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And then in John 17:17, the very one of the last recorded prayers of Jesus. Jesus, if you want to see the heart of Jesus, go to John chapter 17 and just read that. His prayer for his close friends, his prayer for you and I, the disciples that would one day come. And Jesus said this in his prayer, sanctify them. What does it mean to be sanctified? Anybody know? What? Set apart. Jesus wants us to be set apart. Does that mean Jesus wants us to all be protected somewhere, set apart, removed from the world? Not at all. What Jesus was praying here is he was saying, I want them to know that they have a specific purpose. Set them apart. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so what Jesus was saying is, God, Father, I want them to come to know you. I want them to come to know you through your word so that they can fulfill their purpose that they're set apart for. And what's their purpose? What's our purpose? What's the heading of this statement? To glorify God. That is our number one purpose in life, to glorify God so that others will come to know who he is. And so Jesus is our example, and he is the truth. And if we want to live a life that will help us to glorify God, we've got to come to know Jesus Christ. We've got to. The second thing that we kind of captured out of this is both knowing truth and then living for truth. And we call this worship. Okay? A lot of times we think of worship as a band, pretty lyrics, poetry. We think of those kinds of things as worship. But Romans 12:1 tells us this. What does it say there? Do we have that? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship, your spiritual worship. So true worship is not just song. It's our life lived bringing glory to God. So when you walk this place and you leave what is typically called a worship service, you leave this place to go and worship through service. And that's what Hope Hill Church is about. We want to not just sit on a Sunday morning together and sing a few songs and call that worship. Worship is what we are to do with all of our life. We all worship something: your time, energy, creativity, money, resources all go to something that you consider ultimate. The cross frees us to focus our passions on the one true ultimate, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We seek to be living sacrifices. A lot of times sacrifices aren't a good thing. When you have a sacrifice, something dies. And in order for us to really worship God, something in us has to die. And that's our selfishness, that's our own desires. Does that mean that you can't enjoy life? No, not at all. When we learn to live in true worship, we will become more fulfilled than we could ever experience in life. When my daughter is out there playing soccer that she loves, and instead of getting upset, learns to live love through playing soccer to the best of her ability, and on the sidelines by becoming friends with those who are on her soccer team and sharing the love of God with them, that's worship. And that's where she is right now, and she just texted me and said, I won the game with a header. It was the last game of the season. She's been praying that God would allow her to get a header this season, and she got it. So, awesome, Jordan. Good job. I know you can't hear me right now, but okay, anyway. The Bible says, do whatever you do to the glory of God, whether you eat or drink, anything you do, do it to the glory of God. That is worship. So, if you are a contractor that works for the government, I know many times you don't think of our government as God, but the truth is, work for them as if you are working for God. You know, work with integrity. That's worship. Do your best, no matter where. If you play on a softball team, you know, don't stare at the opponent and think of them as, you know, the enemy from hell. Think of them as Jesus. You're playing against Jesus. And yeah, maybe not. No, you should, okay? No matter what we do, let's think of it as living our life. I mean, last week we read a passage before we served, and Jesus told us plain, at the end of time, there will come a day when we're all before Jesus again, and he will separate as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. God will one day separate those of us, those who served him and those who did not. And when we stand before God and say, God, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or in prison or sick or in need or need clothes and not help you? And Jesus will say, when you did not serve the least of those amongst you, you didn't serve me. And so I pray that we as a church will have our eyes open to the truth and to knowing how we can worship God in every area of our life, and then we would do that. That brings us to our second part, and that is transformed lives. You know, it's not enough. God doesn't just want people sitting on the bench. He wants every one of us in the game. He doesn't want to leave us where he finds us. The Bible does say that Jesus came as a doctor comes for the sick. A doctor doesn't need to come for those who need healing. They're already good. But Jesus came to each and every one of us who are sick. And there's not one of us in this room that is perfectly well. Each of us needs the love of Jesus in some area of our life. And so Jesus wants to come into our lives and bring transformation. He wants to bring healing. And many of us, we say this phrase all the time. Once we receive the cure, once we receive the transforming power of God's love in our life, we're to be that vessel now to the lives of those around us. And so we seek to be a community that goes deep with one another. Transformation happens when we're real with one another, not when we come and we put on a mask and we try to be fake like we've got it all together. Transformation happens in authentic, gritty, raw community. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. You know, back then, ironing, sharpening iron was a very common thing. Back then, they had all kinds of instruments and tools made out of iron to be able to work normal jobs, to be able to defend themselves in battle. And so these iron pieces would have spurs. They would need to be made smooth. And so they would use iron to take the spurs off the other iron parts. And in the same way, you and I have spurs in our life, things that aren't supposed to be there. And in a loving way, we're supposed to rub each other the right way and help each other get rid of the junk that doesn't belong there. And so sometimes we look at that and we say, who are you to judge me? But the truth is that God has put us in each other's lives to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I love you, but there's something that's got to change. And when we come to each other in love and we do it in the right way and truth, and yeah, you got to, in some ways, earn that right to be able to speak into someone's life. But we want to be a community where we give each other permission to do that. Where Rob can come to me and say, John, you know, the way you stood me up for lunch, that wasn't good. You know, that hasn't happened, has it? Once? Okay, sorry. So we have to be that kind of community with each other, where we're here to make you, the reason iron is sharpening iron is to make it stronger, not to tear it apart, not to rip it down and make it feel inferior, but to bring strength to one another. And so we want to be authentic and real with each other, iron sharpening iron. So when we invite you to come and be a part of our church, we're actually inviting you to come and to be a part of our lives. Show me where I need to get better with Christ, and let me do the same for you. When we invite people to our church, we aren't just inviting them to a building. We're inviting them into our lives. We meet in each other's homes and celebrate life with good food, good laughs, good fellowship. A community of transformation has depth, which we achieve by building one another up in love and in good deeds. Hebrews 10:24, I think, says, do not forsake. Let us not consider how to stir up one another to live. Let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works. And then later it says, let us not forsake the assembly of the saints. So we need to come together to stir each other good work amongst each other. How many of you are involved in a community group that we have going on? Good, about half of you. That's awesome. It's hard for us on Sunday mornings to turn to each other and to get to know each other, really. I mean, it's hard to get to know someone when they're sitting in front of you and you see the back of their head, right? And so at these community groups, when we're able to break bread together and share a meal and, you know, break down and say, you know what, this area of my life is just falling apart, and we can really get to know each other. That's really where encouragement comes and strength. And so I encourage you guys, if you're not a part of a community group, that you'd find a place where you can grow to deeper levels with one another. A community of transformation has depth. I already read that. We pray together. We struggle together. We encounter life's messes together. By sharing God's grace, love, and truth with one another, the gospel is spread and transformation occurs. Man, I wish we had more time right now. Some of the testimonies that have been shared on Sunday mornings have come from your times of community. I remember several months ago, Dan stood up. Sorry to help. I didn't ask your permission to share this. So, but anyways, Dan stood up and said, I need to share this with the body. You know, I was at a community group and God revealed to me to confess that I need to be a part of this church. And he shared that with us. And that's where we get to get real with each other. And so, you know, dive in. Get to open up your lives and let God pour in. Iron sharpens iron. For spiritual transformation to occur, we must continually sharpen one another. We all need to be confronted with, challenged by, and trained in the Word. We need to remind one another how God calls us to love our spouses, to love our families. So the book of Ephesians tells us this: wives, submit to your own husbands. And we're going to get into a great series called Modern Family soon. In the same way, the husband is to submit to the husband is the head of the wife, but just as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself its Savior. Keep going. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to the husband in everything that they do. We're going to get into this more. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for her. And so, you know, you can have some weird sects and religious groups that take these verses and twist them and distort them into, you know, making women think that they're second class. And we're going to have a great series starting in about 3 weeks called Modern Family, where we're going to look at the roles in the family as a husband and a wife, as children, and how God has called each of us to live in certain ways and mutual submission to each other. I mean, you can't have the church submitting to Christ if Christ wasn't first willing to die for the church. And not just willing, but he did die. If you just celebrated Easter with us, you saw he took a torturous death upon himself to prove his love for the church. And so we'll get into that more. And so as we get into these kind of lives with each other, we'll allow God to transform us from the inside out. He'll be able to shape us, to be able to lead our churches better, to teach others, to fight the good fight of faith, and to build a counterculture within our city. And we alluded to that earlier by looking at Romans 12. You got Romans 12? This is a great verse. I want us to look at it together real quick. I appeal to you, we read this earlier, but the second verse is really powerful. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Now watch this one. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what his good and acceptable and perfect will is. So we want to be a place where transformation can happen, where we're together devoting ourselves to the teachings of the Word of God, to the way Jesus lived his life, and then therefore able to bring transformation to our world through impacting our world. I don't think you have this one. Everybody, real quick, as we close, I want to wrap this last session by pointing out Jeremiah chapter 29. If you have your books, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. We do have Bibles in the seats there. Jeremiah 29:11 is a very famous verse. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And so it goes on. But a lot of people don't know that that promise came at the end of a set of instructions. And the set of instructions were for the Israelites to devote themselves for up to a period of 70 years before Jesus fulfilled that promise. Wow, it's really going to take 70 years for God to fulfill the promise in my life? Well, let's look at it together, because this really is the heartbeat of why Hope Hill Church is here. We're called, as you're turning to Jeremiah 29, verse 7, I want to read this to you, and then I'll break it down. We are called to be everyday missionaries. A lot of times in the church, we think of missionaries as the chosen few, like Margaret. She's probably teaching the kids, right? Who get to go to Moldova. Yeah, that's our missionary. No, the truth is every single one of you here who bears the name of Jesus Christ is called to be a missionary. You're called to be a missionary in your schools, in your workplaces, on the sidelines, at sporting events. No matter where you go, you are called to be a missionary every day. We are to be reconciled Christians. We are to live intentionally, living out the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is helping people know that Jesus has died for them and has brought and enabled them to be able to be brought together with God. And so we need to be that source of reconciliation in the lives of others. Knowing that God has put us where we are for his purpose, we herald the gospel. We live it out by being purposeful in everything we do. We seek to do everything, hobbies, work, dinner, marriage, music, for the glory of God, acting in his love towards the people that he placed around us. And we want to do this by being city dwellers. We don't want to be a group that pulls away and says, you know, we have to stay in our little protected bubble so that we don't get influenced by the culture. No, God has told us to be in the culture, but not of it, to take his truth, his life into this world, to dwell in it, and to bring change from within. We are called to transform our city, Jeremiah 29:7. We'll get to that in a minute. Not by, you know, speaking out against it from the outside, but by loving it from the inside. We're commanded to care for orphans, the poor, widows, single moms, homeless, fatherless, the oppressed, just as Jesus did. In the book of Jeremiah, verse 29, what happens is, and because of time, I don't have time to get into it all the way. We'll dive into it a little deeper next time. But look at, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I'm reading from verse 4, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. You see, these people who are living in Jerusalem, they became slaves to the Babylonians. And yeah, that was a bad thing. But what did God tell them to do? Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says this, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare, and then you will find welfare. God has put you here in Prince William County for this time and season. You may only have a couple months left here, but the truth is God put you here for this time. You may have 3, 6, 10 years left here. What is it that God has put you here for? Who are the neighbors that God has put next to you? Who are the people that God has put in the next cubicle where you work? God has placed you where he has placed you for a very specific purpose. And we want to be in the city to be that difference, to glorify God, to see lives transformed, and to impact our world. If you are on that mission or want to join Hope Hill on that mission, then we want you to be a part of what we're doing. As we close today, I know that was kind of weird and thrown at you real fast, and the next 2 weeks are kind of trying to get this stuff out so that we all know what page we're on together. My hope is that, first of all, that you know who Jesus is. Because if you don't know who Jesus is from the beginning, then nothing else matters. And so today, if for some reason you're sitting here and you've never said, God, I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to know that my sins have been forgiven by the blood that you shed. Then today, you can come to know him. And he will begin to transform your life so that you can become, you know, a vessel in his name to the rest of this world. And so today, I encourage you to take this packet home. Bring it back next week. If for some reason you forget, we'll have more. But I want you to take it home and I want you to read through it. Are these the things that I personally believe? This is the vision and mission that I believe as the pastor of Hope Hill Church that God has called us to. And that I'm going to do everything I can to continue to lead us to. Are you willing to be on board and to join this team? My hope and prayer is that you would. And that you would also reach out to others who may supposed to be a part of what God's doing here. So let's take these next few moments to listen to God. I'm going to ask that the band would just play quietly over the next few moments. As we listen to God's Holy Spirit, I want you to ask yourself these questions. First of all, am I living a life that brings glory to God? In my home, am I the mother or father that I'm supposed to be? Am I the child that I'm supposed to be? In my workplace, am I bringing glory to God? The second thing I want you to ask yourself is, am I becoming the person who you want me to be, God? Am I seeing transformation in my own life? Am I being real and authentic and open with those who you're placing around me, God? I know none of us like to be told we're wrong. But when it's done through love, we can become so much better. And my hope and prayer is that you'd sit here today and you'd be willing to open up your life to those who God has placed around you, who he has put there to help make you stronger and a better person. And the last area this morning, are you allowing God to use you to bring impact into this world? To be the missionary that he's called you to be. Maybe you've never thought of yourself as a missionary, but the truth is you are. If you are a child of God, then you are a missionary sent by him to reach others. As you pray through these things, we've been closing our services by remembering what Christ did for us. And then looking at what Christ wants us to do for him. And as we take time to remember him, we remember that most importantly, Christ died for us. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. And so as we close our service today in response to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, I invite you, as you feel led, to come to the front where we have bread and juice as a remembrance of the body of Christ broken for us and the blood of Christ shed for us. If God has spoken to you in one of these areas and you want to pray with someone, I will be up here. We have other people up here who want to pray with you. My hope is that God would just take you one step closer to who he is calling you to be. And that all together, we as a church would be a bright, shining light for him. And that many in this area would come to know him. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're calling Hope Hill Church to be. God, more importantly, I thank you for what you're calling each and every individual in this church to be, to come to know you, to come and experience your love, to be able to be broken before you and put back together just the way you intended our lives to be. So God, as we come to this time and place, I pray that we would respond to the leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us to remember how you gave your life for us as we choose to give our life back to you. In your name we pray. As the band leads us in worship, these communion tables are open for you to come as you feel led. It's not for you to just feel like, okay, it's time to take communion. Sit there and pray. God, is there some area I need to get right with you before I remember what you did for me? When you feel like you're ready to respond to what God is calling you to do, come forward, take the bread, take the cup, and remember what he did for you as you say, God, I'm ready to live for you. The tables are open. Come as you feel led.